also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw a large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" And he said this to test him, for Jesus knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages could not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in the place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. When Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now you all are going to be happy to know that I'm not going to take you back to Cleveland, Ohio, as I have the last 2 weeks. Hooray! We're going to Solon, Ohio, east of the city. I was a newly ordained associate pastor, and my senior pastor was great. Father Bob was kind and generous. He was a dandy administrator, and he mentored me, always giving me as much rope as I needed until I was about to hang myself, and he would come to the rescue. But Father Bob was a terrible preacher. Oh! He sent for and received sermon helps every week, which were actually generic sermons from a mail order company. And then Bob would jazz them up by inserting anecdotes from the Reader's Digest, All in a Day's Work, Life in These United States, and so forth. Now, as a young, confident, bordering on cocky preacher, I promised myself I would never, ever preach the gospel according to the Reader's Digest. I kept that promise until today. I ran across a statement by Leonard Nimoy, Star Trek's Mr. Spock, in quotable quotes in an issue of the Reader's Digest that was hanging around our house. And Spock, actually Leonard Nimoy, said, "The miracle is this, the more we share, the more we have. The more we share, the more we have." Now, before I go anywhere else with this, I want to say for the record, and I will repeat myself several times, that the feeding of the 5,000 is pure and simple a miracle. All 4 Gospels agree and affirm that Jesus took almost nothing, asked God's blessing, and made enough to feed 5,000 men and their spouses and children. This is truly, simply a blessed and miraculous act, no doubt. John, who is always very careful about details, tells us in verse 13, they gathered up 12 basketfuls of leftovers from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves. Jesus did something miraculous and awesome. The truest sense of the word, miracle. Even with our 21st century technologies, we haven't figured it out. How did he do this? But much ink has been spilled trying to figure it out. From skeptics to terrific scripture scholars, from scientists to science fiction writers, there's no way to explain it except Jesus did a miracle, no doubt. Now, having established that this was truly a miraculous act by Jesus, let's play with it for a few minutes. In light of the statement, the miracle is this: the more we share, the more we have. It's near Passover, so we have people, pilgrims from everywhere, coming to Jerusalem. And it seems like everyone that is making their pilgrimage to Jerusalem is on that plane following Jesus, listening to him. A huge crowd. It's been a long week and a hot day. Everyone is tired and hungry. And if they're like me, when you're tired and hungry, you're just a little bit cranky. The disciples have been on crowd control duty all day. They're not happy. Jesus has been preaching and teaching and healing for hours and hours and hours in the sun. They missed lunch and now it's supper time. Jesus asks the disciples, how can we take care of all these good people now? How can we take care of them? Did anyone remember to bring their Costco card? Where's the nearest King Supers? And Philip bravely answers, it would take 6 months to get enough money to even give these people a taste, even at Sam's Club prices. We can't give them enough to satisfy them. Now, don't be too hard on Philip. He is absolutely right. Jesus and the 12 and the regulars in the ministry, Mary Magdalene and the women and the men who support this ministry, they do not have enough resources. They do not have enough. Common sense says they can't sustain their ministry even now till supper time. And who knows what tomorrow will bring? That's sermon number one I wish I could follow. Don't worry about what tomorrow will bring. Let today be enough for today. We'll do that another time. But who knows? They're done here. They don't have enough resources. Put in 21st century parlance. They don't have enough resources to go on with the ministry. Andrew says, hey, there's a boy here with 5 barley loaves and a couple of fishes. Now what's Andrew asking? What's he saying? Is he being a wise guy? There's a kid here with 5 barley loaves and we have 5,000 people. Or in knowing Jesus, is Andrew saying, Jesus, you can do this? Is he inviting a miracle? I like that. Let's assume for now that Andrew is pointing out that we only have this ridiculous small amount and there is so much need. Jesus knows what they have. Jesus knows the need. Jesus performs a miracle. Remember I said there's no doubt he took 5 loaves and 2 fishes, asked God's blessing and did it. For nothing is impossible with Jesus. That's another sermon. Nothing is impossible with Jesus. Our resources seem puny. But Jesus knows our need, and so there's the miracle. It's a sermon for another day, for nothing is impossible with God. But let's keep playing. Okay, Jesus says, no, we don't have enough. We don't. All we have is this little guy who's willing to share what he has. Tell everybody to sit down. Lots of grass here. Break them down into smaller groups. Once they're seated, he takes the bread, and he holds it up way high, and he asks God's blessing. And he breaks the bread, and he gives it to them. Now, there's 5,000 plus women and children, and they're each going to get, each group that is sitting there is going to get about this much bread. That's all they're going to get. That's not enough even to taste, let alone to eat and satisfy. But Jesus, in making the prayer, thanks God for the boy. Thanks God for our generous hearts. Thanks God for the bounty in which he has given us. So the apostles take this little bitty bit. After he breaks the bread, they take this little less than communion sized bit and pass it out. Now I'm sitting there in the group and I hear this prayer. And I said, you know, I have some bread. It's not much, but, you know, I was going to save it for the walk home, but I can share it with everybody else. So I begin to share it. And in her group, Kathy says, you know, hey, I was saving this little piece of dried fish in case the apostles and Jesus didn't provide something. But I wonder if somebody else would like a bite. And Mark says to his group, hey, you know, I forgot I had these rolls in my pocket. I just forgot about them. Here, pass them around. And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. So many of the 5,000 have a little something to share. Not much, but a little something to give. And others who really don't have any, those who have some are willing to share even the little bit they have. And in sharing, they begin to eat and they eat and they eat and they eat. And the food keeps appearing because good people see the need and are reminded what they have. They're reminded what they have. There's no guilt here. No, oh, you know, okay, I'll pull it. No grudging. Oh, we have this and we can share this. They're reminded that they are more than willing to share. Suddenly, food and fellowship and prayer and healing and teaching and Bible study and Jesus are all rolled into one. And the people want to share and to give and be a part of this happening. They want to be a part of it. Come on, celebrate good times. It's a party going on. Come on. And they celebrate together. After they eat, they collect up the leftovers and more leftovers. It's another sermon for another day. They collect up more leftovers than what they started with. But as they collect up the leftovers, now they see they have enough for breakfast, lunch, and supper tomorrow. The ministry goes on another day. In fact, there's enough to take bunches of bread to the food pantry. And so what happened on this plane now, this ministry of the good news swells out to other places. And the miracle is this: the more we share, the more we have. My focus this morning as your pastor could not be simpler. The more we share, the more we have. If we live as though we don't have enough, if we live as though we don't have the resources to keep going, if we live as to die, if we take the time to look at Jesus, see what he's done, see what he has inspired others to do, look at the little bit he has given each of us, share it with others, be an example of generosity, enjoy others' generosity, then we live into Jesus' promise of John 10:10, that you may have life in abundance. Or as the Amplified Bible so beautifully puts it, I came, Jesus says, I came that you may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance, all the way full up to the brim until it overflows. Life in abundance is absolutely positively eternal life. That's absolutely positively right. Life in abundance, though, is also absolutely positively right here, right now, this moment. Not always easy life. Life in abundance, not always easy, not always smooth, not always a life without doubts or fears, not always a life where we feel that in this moment in time we have everything we need, but it's good life. Life in abundance in Christ Jesus. We have more than we think. We have so much to share. We have so much to share. And remember, I'm not doing finances. I'm not doing stewardship. I won't do it. I'm not going to talk about money. I'm talking about your spirit, your generous, giving, loving spirit. I know you. I know your hearts. Each of you would absolutely be that child who comes forward with the morsel, the loaves and the fishes. You're the person who would share something out, to pull something out of your cloak to share. You are giving. You know the more of your spirit, the more of your faith, the more of your generosity you share, the more you will know in your hearts the Spirit of the living God in Jesus Christ. Jesus absolutely performed a miracle that day. Positively, make no mistake about it, he performed a miracle. And sometimes the miracle is done not just for us, but the miracle is done to us. Our attitudes, our hearts and souls are changed in ways that we can never, never hope for or imagine. The miracle is this. The more we share, the more we have. And the Apostle Paul, I think, sums this up best in Ephesians 3, beginning in verse 14. He says, "For this reason I bow my knees, I pray in thanksgiving to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray in thanksgiving that according to his riches, he may let you know the full strength that you have in your inner being, the full resources that you have by the power of the Holy Spirit, let you know what you got and what you got to give, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith and be rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints all over the world, that you may have the power to comprehend what you have. You have the length, the height, the breadth, the power of the love of God in your lives. Every minute, right now, you have all of that. And you know the love of Jesus Christ, which surpasses all knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." That's life in abundance. And now, the apostle does a doxology. "And now to him who by the power at work in us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we could ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.